Chapter 10. Tell me more about your travels. Sister White, do you remember any special experiences that came to you in your travels?
I left Battle Creek October 23rd, 1878, for the Kansas camp meeting. We found the tents in a grove. It was late in the season, and faithful preparation had been made for cold weather. Every tent had a stove. Sabbath morning it commenced snowing, but not one meeting was suspended. About an inch of snow fell, and the air was piercing cold. Women with little children clustered about the stoves. It was touching to see 150 people assembled for a meeting under these circumstances. Some had come 200 miles. All seemed hungry for the bread of life and thirsty for the water of salvation. Sabbath morning, I spoke to those who had made so great an effort to attend the meeting. I told them that our hopes are reaching forward to the Christian's summer, when we shall change climate, leave all the wintry blasts and fierce tempests behind, and be taken to those mansions Jesus has gone to prepare for those that love him.
Did you sometimes have to travel in cold weather?
Tuesday, March 3rd, 1868. We shall leave today. It is bitterly cold. Water froze solid in our bedrooms. We expect to suffer. Wrap up as best we may. The people at St. Charles, Michigan, expected us to hold meetings with them.
Here was the question. What is duty? We feel so anxious to do all the good we can. We are worn, yet are willing to labor on if God will give strength. This is the most severe of all, people begging for meetings. We prepared to go 5 miles over a bad road. I rode in much fear, for it was very dark and we could not see how to shun the mud holes, and we came near being overturned. The meeting was profitable to the little church in Allegan, Michigan. We traveled over rough and muddy roads, and while I chose to walk 2 or 3 miles over rough logways, I felt grateful to God for the health and strength He had given me since I had left my home. Our meetings in Wright, Michigan, were blessed of God. November 7, 1867. We had no idea it was going to be so cold when we started, but heavy black clouds came up, and we had quite a little flurry of partial snow and hail, all soft, about as large as a pea. Then it became so very cold, we suffered in traveling 15 miles. Last night was a very bitterly cold night. What were the roads like?
Tuesday, January 18th, 1859. Brother Lay harnessed his horses to a sleigh and took Mary, Loughborough, Edson, and myself over the logway and over the bad going 10 miles to the plank road. The road is very bad and rough. John, Loughborough, followed us with the horses and wagon. We feel very thankful for the easy conveyance over the bad road. Sister Lay went with her husband for the ride. After we struck the plank, we had a good road all the way to Grand Rapids, Michigan. I am so weary and lame through riding, I cannot move without suffering pain. Monday, March 2nd, 1868. We arose between 4 and 5 o'clock, ate breakfast before 6, and were on our way before 7. The wind increased, blowing the snow into the road until we could see no track. We knew we were in danger of freezing, and after we had gone 5 miles, we turned back. In doing so, we faced the wind and must have frozen if we had not used blankets to cover us and taken our seats in the bottom of the sleigh, our backs to the wind.
It seemed a long time before we were again under shelter. Rested all forenoon. In the afternoon, wrote 10 pages. Did you ever get stuck in a snowstorm? March 9th, 1868. We are at home again. We are thankful for this. Thursday, we rode 60 miles. The snow was very deep, in many places nearly as high as the houses. While we were trying to get the sleigh over a fallen tree, the reach, coupling pole, broke, and we were down. We had to get out in the deep snow, unload the sleigh, and lift the box off the runners. A man came along in the woods just then and helped us toggle up the sleigh. We lashed it together with straps and went on. We stood in the snow more than half an hour. About 10 o'clock, it commenced snowing, and snow continued to fall until 12. Large flakes, coming very fast. We never saw it on this wise before. To make it still more uncomfortable, the rain began to come. But we rode on, every hour bringing us nearer home, and we were glad to lessen the distance. When within 4 miles of home, we were so unfortunate as to enter upon a road open for several miles, but entirely blocked up and impassable at the other end. The horses went up to their backs in drifts. We got out, lightened the sleigh, and again plowed through the snow while it was steadily raining. After this, we had no very special difficulties. You must have been frozen.
Last Thursday morning, we rode 18 miles to Athens, Maine. We found the people needed help very much. I spoke Sunday morning, then we had a meeting with the church, especially. Then a praying season with the family we had tarried with. We started at 5 o'clock for Norgewock, Maine. Brother Ira Rogers had taken us in a wagon. He exchanged that for a sleigh, as the night before we had a fall of snow, about 2 or 3 inches. It was extremely cold, and a sleigh was preferable to a wagon. We came wrapped up with all the clothing we had. We came 13 miles in 1 hour and a half. It seemed sometimes as though we almost flew over the ground. But it was intensely cold, and we came near freezing. My fingers suffered terribly, but they were not frozen. The last 5 miles was alongside the river. A keen breeze blew directly in our faces. I was so unfortunate as to freeze my face pretty severely. It is very sore. This morning we rode on the cars, but could not keep warm. The air circulated about our feet, chilling them. We are now in Brother Howland's hospitable home. We are now sitting before a fireplace. My stand is drawn up to the fire. Did you ever get lost? Tuesday, January 25th, 1859. It looks like a storm. We rode 14 miles. Brother Kramer did not give us the right directions, and we went 4 miles out of our way. Did not arrive at Brother Hardy's until dinner time. It was snowing fast. We were heartily welcomed by the family. A good dinner was soon in readiness for us, of which we thankfully partook. This is a colored family, but although the house is poor and old, everything is arranged with neatness and exact order. The children are well-behaved, intelligent, and interesting. May I yet have a better acquaintance with this dear family. How could you keep from getting sick, traveling like that through the snow? November 7th, 1863. My husband and self left Battle Creek for Monterey, Michigan. We ventured in a cold snowstorm. In the middle of the day, it grew warmer. We selected a spot by the roadside in the woods as our hotel and fed the horses and took our lunch. We arrived at Brother Day's, 50 miles, a little after sundown. We were very weary, with sore throat and aching lungs. I tried to pray the next morning, but thought I should have to stop for coughing. But praise the Lord, He gave me help when I most needed it. I was greatly blessed of God and felt no more trouble with weak lungs on the journey. Tell me that story about crossing the Mississippi. In a vision, I was shown the state of those brethren who had moved to Waukon, Iowa. I saw that they needed help. As I had been shown their condition, I felt anxious to go. It was a great distance, and in the winter. It was exceedingly difficult and somewhat dangerous a journey, yet I felt urged on to go to Waukon. It was then good sleighing. Preparations were made to go with 2 horses and a sleigh, but it rained for 24 hours, and the snow was fast disappearing. My husband thought the journey must be given up. My mind could not rest. Brother Hart said to me, "Sister White, what about Waukon?" Said I, "We shall go." "Yes," said he, "if the Lord works a miracle." Many times that night I was at the window watching the weather, and about daybreak there was a change, and it commenced snowing. The next night we were on our way. We held meetings at Greenvale, Illinois, and were there blocked in nearly a week with a severe snowstorm. Thursday we ventured to pursue our journey. Weary, cold, and hungry, we called at a hotel a few miles from the Mississippi River. The next morning, about 4 o'clock, it commenced raining. We felt urged on and rode through the rain, while the horses broke through the snow at almost every step. We made many inquiries about crossing the river, but none gave us encouragement that we could cross. The ice was mostly composed of snow, and there lay upon it 1 foot of water. When we reached the river, Brother Hart rose in the sleigh and said, "Is it Iowa or back to Illinois?" "We have come to the Red Sea. Shall we cross?" We answered, "Go forward, trusting in Israel's God." We ventured upon the ice, praying as we went. We were carried safely across, and as we ascended the Iowa bank of the river, we united in praising the Lord. A number told us after we crossed that no amount of money would have tempted them to cross, and that a number had broken in. They could not save their teams and barely escaped with their lives. We put up at a hotel to rest over the Sabbath. Sunday, we continued our journey. I never witnessed so cold weather. The brethren would watch one another to see if they were freezing. And we would often hear, "Brother, your face is freezing. You had better rub the frost out as soon as possible. Your ear is freezing. Your nose is freezing." I found my coonskin robe of real service. We reached Waukon Wednesday night. The Lord sent us to the place in season to break Satan's snare, that the captives might be released. Didn't you get discouraged sometimes? Tuesday, November 15th, 1859. We rose early and took our breakfast, had a season of prayer, and then started on our weary journey. About noon, tarried to rest the horses. Then took a little luncheon, and in 1 hour were on our way again to Monterey, Michigan. The plank road is very rough, but for 10 miles the road is very bad. Logways, mud holes, and yet on we go, singing, "The road may be rough, but it cannot be long," etc. As we came up to Brother G. Lay's, he stopped us and urged us to go in. We tarried with him overnight. Friday, April 24th, 1868. We prepared to commence our journey. It is a cold, raw day. Looks like rain. We got along very well until we took a wrong road. Went 5 miles out of the way over a very bad road. We found a convenient spot, stopped our team, and prepared to take our dinner. While James was unharnessing the team, I was building a fire. Had a large, roaring fire in the short time. We enjoyed our dinner. It commenced to rain before we had again started on our journey, yet we got along very well. A few minutes after the sun had set, we were too weary to sit in our chairs and hastened to bed. Thursday, April 30th, 1868. Arose at 4 o'clock and prepared for our journey to Monterey, Michigan. We took our dinner in the carriage. The roads were rough, the day was raw and cold. Our wagon broke going over the rough logways. I did not speak as carefully and as cheerfully as I ought. Confessed this before leaving the carriage. Why did you make all these hard trips? We labored very hard. You may inquire, why did you labor so hard? The love of Christ constrained us. This is the only proper answer we can give. Souls for whom Christ died seemed of such inexpressible worth that self was forgotten. Ease, pleasure, and even health were made secondary. God has called us and commissioned us to do an important work. This work must be done where it will be appreciated. May God help us to work in humility, trusting in Him to give the increase. Greenville, Michigan. Sabbath, March 7th, 1868. It has rained all through the night. It will be impossible for people to attend meetings today. This is the first Sabbath we have had without speaking to the people in 8 months. We traveled Thursday afternoon over crossroads, mud, sloughs, and logways. Again, I went on foot a portion of the way because the roads were so bad. We traveled all day Friday to get to Greenville, Michigan. Arrived there before sundown. Were all the people you met in your travels friendly? Friday, January 24th, 1868. Prepared to go to Wright, Michigan. We found it very unpleasant traveling. A cold wind was blowing directly in our faces. At noon, stopped at Lappinville. Found ourselves in mean quarters. There was a woman with a pipe in her mouth and a young man smoking a cigar. He said he had learned and practiced the habit and could not now give it up, although he knew it was hurtful. We ate our plain food with good relish, but were treated with incivility by the inmates of the house. They showed themselves strangers to true politeness. We found no good hay for the horses, no oats, no water. They charged us 50 cents for sitting before their fire and being annoyed with the scent of tobacco. I was glad to go out again in the air. Did you sometimes meet special people? A few days ago, Sister Hall, Sarah, McEnterfer, and I went for a long drive in Rock Creek Park, Washington, D.C. This is a most beautiful place. I have seldom driven over finer roads. This is a national park. Here the president takes his rides. The drives are equal to, yes, more than equal to, anything that I saw in Denmark or Switzerland. On our drive, we met the president, Theodore Roosevelt. He bowed to us as we passed him. Fresh air was one thing you had plenty of when you traveled by wagon. How was it when you began riding on trains? The conductor of our car was a quiet, nice-looking man. He seemed to understand his business well. At one station, a man bought some beer at a saloon and put it in a cupboard at the end of the car. The conductor heard of this and promptly ordered the beer taken out, saying that he would allow no such thing on the car. During all the time we were on the train, I did not get one whiff of tobacco, excepting once or twice when someone passed through the car with a lighted cigar in his hand. We had many pleasant interviews with the passengers. As I talked with them, I felt an earnest desire to meet them again sometime. Your father and myself took the train westward. We changed cars. We had to wait 3 hours. The depot was small and not well ventilated. Two respectable-looking ladies seemed quite at home. They took out their pipes and commenced smoking. This was a little more than we could well endure. We found to our joy that the settees were movable. We took a couple of these out upon the platform, where there was pure air to feed our lungs. We here spread out our bread and fruit, which had been provided for us by our friends. We enjoyed our luncheon. After all these experiences, you must have been glad when automobiles were invented. We arrived here, Paradise Valley, California, last Monday evening. An automobile was waiting for us to take us from the train to the sanitarium. Brother Johnson, who owns this machine, meets all the trains and brings passengers to the sanitarium. One day he took us into San Diego, and we crossed over the bay on the ferry to Coronado. Yesterday, I rode out again. I enjoy very much riding in the automobile. Elder Andros took us in an automobile to visit the several churches and the Bible Workers' Home in Los Angeles. We did not get out of the conveyance, but stopped and spoke to some of those engaged in the work. It was a very pleasant trip. The automobile was an easy riding machine that did not jolt me. When we were ready to return home, a brother, who is always ready to place his automobile at our disposal, took us several miles through the city, Nashville, Tennessee, to the station, and saw us on board the train for St. Helena. Willie and his family are well. His twin boys are busy workers. They have recently purchased an automobile, and yesterday I took my first ride in it. It is the easiest machine that I have ever ridden in. The twin boys, Henry and Herbert White, were 17 years old at the time they bought their car, a Model T Ford, and took their grandmother riding. Did you ever feel that you were getting too old to travel? I have a deep interest in my native state. I am looking forward to the time when I shall be able to make the journey to Portland. I shall hope to have strength to visit you during the coming summer season. We are to labor earnestly and continuously, working to bring souls to take a decided stand for the truth. Did you make that trip? My interest in the work in Portland is still as deep as ever, but I find it impossible to make the visit there that I have looked forward to so long. I cannot leave my work here until the book on Old Testament history is ready for the publishers. I would be very pleased to see you, Elder Haskell, and the workers, and to join you in lifting the standard of truth in Portland, Maine. Christ died that he might save souls. We should consider no sacrifice too great in order to cooperate with him in this work. Mrs. White was 84 when she wrote the two letters above. The food we eat.
Mother, I'm hungry.
When do we eat? After working in the vegetable garden, or cutting wood, or helping their father at the review office, the White brothers must often have asked this important question. In the early years of their marriage, Ellen and James White knew hunger and poverty. Now they had a home and food, enough for all. In the chicken house, Willie's hens cackled over eggs they produced daily. Willie gathered these eggs and proudly took them to his mother. Edson and Henry took turns, probably, milking the family cow, anticipating the thick cream they would later enjoy, piled high on thick slices of whole wheat bread. In the garden, Willie might weed, Edson hoe, and Henry water. Then would come the crisp vegetables that they knew would adorn the garden and appear later on the family dinner table. The boy's appeal, "Mother, I'm hungry," was answered at mealtime. As the family gathered and asked God to bless the food, they came with thankful hearts. Not one moment was wasted in grumbling, because foods unhealthful, forbidden, unclean, never appeared. Their table was bountifully supplied with grains, fruits, nuts, vegetables, and wholesome dairy products.